Golf Smarter number 293, published on August 9, 2011, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Golf and the American Dream. Owning a course as your family business.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Joining us today is Jennifer Kim, the executive director of the San Geronimo Golf Course. And it's not often that I'll invite a executive director to come onto the show and talk about the business of running a golf course, but not only is this my favorite local golf course in the Marin County, I found this to be a fascinating story for a golf course that has gone through a lot of different ownership changes and, you know, with large corporations buying into it, but now it's a family-run business. So, Jennifer, welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is, in fact, a family-run business, correct?
That is true.
Tell me how that works.
So what's key about a family-run business, obviously, is that the folks in the family are actually running the business instead of running it from afar. So I'm here every day. The only day I have off is Sundays, so I'm here 6 days a week, on board, helping wherever I can help.
And what is it, I mean, how many roles do you have to play on any given day?
From one to, to a billion.
Give me an example of what it is that you do, what your day is like. Like your DOF Sunday, so Monday you're probably having to put out fires and then all through the week.
So typically on Mondays there's meetings that we have to go through with all the managers so that we make sure that we're all on board on what's going on, review what's happened the previous week, and also talk about what our objectives and goals are for the coming weeks ahead. So we start off with that. There's also other facets of it where I help in the bar, I help in the kitchen, I help in the pro shop, washing carts, cleaning bathrooms, whatever is necessary to make the business run smoothly. The only thing that I don't do hands-on is dealing with maintenance issues because I'm not very mechanical. But when it comes to anything else, I'm here to help support the staff in whatever way necessary. Do administrative stuff, marketing, payroll, all of that other stuff as well.
Fabulous. So you mentioned the managers. You have your meeting with managers on Monday. How many managers do you have and what are their roles?
So in terms of the direct supervisors or managers, we have one that does golf operations, which is our assistant general manager, Chris Bright, our superintendent who manages all of the greens, and we also have an assistant superintendent, but his name is Barry Mueller. We also have our executive chef who runs the food and beverage operations, and his name is Rich Trelia. Those are our three main, and myself, the four of us that work as a team. My father comes every Monday on every meeting and is on board on what is going on, what needs to be changed, what our future plans are and all that. So he's in on the operation as well.
And your father, his role overall is?
His role overall is the managing partner. So there is a partnership of three owners, and he does the more day-to-day operations in terms of running the golf course. He makes sure that the bills are paid, that we are utilizing whatever revenue comes in to the best of our ability, using it out on the golf course. There's obviously a long checklist of things that we need to do on the golf course and also in the clubhouse, and really prioritizing what needs to be done first and prioritizing not just a day-to-day goal, but monthly and yearly, and also the big picture as well. So that's what we do together.
All right. So now we've got, I'm assuming three generations here because your dad's here, you're here, I've seen your children here, and they're what, 10, 12 years old? They're not
Yes, they are, right? They are.
Yeah, lucky guess. And they're helping too. They're not just here doing their homework, right?
No.
What are your kids doing?
So that's one great thing about family labor, because you don't have to pay for them.
You're going to pay for it later, I promise.
maybe, if they pursue golf, they might be able to get golf scholarships and we won't have to pay for them.
But that's not what I meant.
But yes, they help out in whatever way necessary. Sometimes they even write notes on envelopes for me, or clean tables. They pick up balls. They help wash carts and tidy up carts. They help with place settings whenever we're having a tournament or event. They help me set up the tables with napkins and utensils and glassware and all that stuff. So wherever I need an extra hand and I can boss around, get some free labor, I utilize.
And how's their attitude? I mean, so they're learning every aspect of this business, but it's too early to tell whether they're going to be interested in it or if it's just, you know, like, I don't want to do that now.
Well, right now at this point, they know it's something that they've always done at home too.
Okay.
So that's what we instill in them is a family attitude of helping in whatever way that they take ownership, and hopefully that'll empower them and teach them new tools that they can use in the future. My brother has actually been here. This is his second summer. Last year he was working with the maintenance department, and he mowed greens and watered the greens and mowed fairways and did all that stuff, dig trenches and ditches and all that stuff too. So he was there 5 days a week at 5:30 in the morning, working with the maintenance crew and learning how to run that portion of the business. Well, not necessarily run, but
how it runs.
How it runs is a better way of putting it. And so he did that. He also learned, followed our mechanic and learned what tools are necessary and what maintenance requirements are necessary on all the equipment we use. Mm-hmm. This year, he's actually working in the food and beverage department. So he's behind scenes in the kitchen, in the back end, and helping in that end. He does the barbecues, and so you'll see him occasionally on the front end, but usually he's on the back end doing the prep work, washing dishes, cleaning floors, doing all that stuff. So we really want to learn.
You said he's here during the summer?
He's here every summer because he's still in school. He's in college.
Okay.
So that's one thing that I've always learned, and that's why I'm trying to do the same with my children, is that a family business really requires the family to be in on a day-to-day basis, not be afraid to do things, and also think that certain tasks are above them, that every single thing is necessary and every single thing needs to be done, and to have a great attitude about it as well.
And you mentioned earlier about everyone taking ownership of what they do, and I'm sure your dad's long-term vision may be taking ownership on the third generation down of everyone, just keeping this, hopefully keeping this in the family for quite a while. Is that his long-term vision?
That is his long-term vision. One thing that, like you've mentioned in the beginning, the turnaround in terms of how often different owners have owned this business has been tremendous. One reason being is it's not necessarily a business where you'll make a lot of profit, because this golf course unfortunately doesn't have a driving range, and usually that's where a lot of the revenue comes in. So that's one area that's difficult. The other area is the fact that we are a little remote in terms of the distance from the freeway. But it's only 30 minutes away from San Francisco, but feels a world away. As you can see, as you know, the scenery is beautiful. You feel like you're in Tahoe, with oaks, surrounded by redwood trees and creeks, and it's just beautiful here. But come with that comes a lot of difficulties when it comes to revenue stream. And so that's why there's been so many ownership changes. His focus and his vision is to definitely to pass this on from generation to generation. And doing that, we're trying to make the right choices, and so that we can last and be here long term. The goal is not to make money. Obviously, as a business, it has to be one of the objectives, but it's just one of the objectives. Our goal is to really make strides with the community and make this a family-oriented place where non-golfers are also welcome, that those that are in the community are feel welcome to come here to utilize the space and that they feel like this is their home.
I'm absolutely fascinated by his vision and his goal on this. Does he have or do you have a background in the golf industry?
My father does.
Okay. Who said, I got a piece of property for you that you're just, I mean, in this, at this time, 2011, you know, we're coming off a bad economy and don't know where it's going, and golf courses all across the country are closing. How do you convince somebody that this is the right deal?
Well, it's the best and worst investment, because if this is the bottom, then things can only get better, right?
I love the attitude.
But if things don't, then we don't want to fall into the same trap as other golf courses. And like you've seen, in two other Marin County courses have closed due to bankruptcy issues. And we really don't want to fall into that same boat. That's why we're really trying our best to make the right choices. The reason why my dad decided to go into golf was... one of his first jobs, and he's always worked since he was a teenager, or three or four jobs at a time. And that's because he's had to pay his way through college and also pay his way through everything. He also has four children, so paying for four children's college tuition isn't cheap as well. And like I mentioned earlier, one of them is still in college, so it's not an easy task for any parent to do. But
you
when
probably
he
know that more now than you ever
yes.
imagined.
Since I have two kids of my own, like you mentioned, 10 and 12. So that's one thing that he wanted to find an investment that he can carry on, pass on to his children, and that he feels like he can, I guess, more or less give his legacy or standing stamp on what he's done. And so the golf course end came into picture because when he was, I think it was 15, maybe 16 years old, one of his first jobs was to be a caddy. And this was when he was living in a trailer park. He lived in a trailer park for all the way up to he started college.
Where was this?
In Sonoma.
Okay, just north of here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he grew up in Sonoma County?
Yes, when he first came to the States, he actually settled in San Anselmo, and this was when he was in late elementary school.
Okay.
They lived in the basement of a family friend's home.
And where did they come from?
They had come from Korea.
Okay.
And so when they came, they settled in San Anselmo for a little bit until they were able to start renting a trailer home in Sonoma. So they lived in Sonoma from his late elementary or junior high age till he started college. And his my grandma and my family still actually lives out in Sonoma. But he and his friend caddied for some gentleman, and it was the first time he went out there. He had no idea about golf etiquette or about golf rules or anything like that. Went out on the golf course, made all the wrong decisions, you know, talked when he wasn't supposed to, was in the way of the golfer's vision in line and all that other faux pas that he's not supposed to do. And the gentleman he was paired up with basically criticized him the entire time. And ridiculed him for how can you be a caddy if you don't know anything about the sport and all this stuff. So he told his friend afterwards that, you know, one day I'm going to own a golf course. And his friend, I mean, living in a trailer park with him.
And his friend said, wait a minute, after that kind of abuse,
exactly.
you're gonna make sure that someday when that guy comes to play golf, you can kick him off? I mean,
I don't know what he was thinking. I think he just felt so down at that point where he's just like, I don't ever want to feel like this ever, this type of abuse ever again. And I want to prove to myself, prove to I guess, the world that that I can, from nothing, become something by just hard work and determination. And so that's what his goal was. And his friend laughed at him and said, yeah, in your dreams. And and he finally achieved that. Many, many years later, he finally achieved that. And that's one thing that he feels that, you know, you set goals in your life, especially at a young age. And a lot of them you aren't able to achieve. But a few of them you are. And especially those that you really look to, it makes a difference once you achieve them. So that's why we're here.
So he must really believe in the American dream.
He does, definitely. And I do as well. I've been fortunate to be given a lot of different opportunities. And but he's, both my mom and dad have taught me core values in work ethics and working hard and not feeling like things are handed to you on a silver platter. Never had much, even growing up, even though my parents were saving money, they never really spent too much. They were very frugal. Coupon clipping was a weekend routine that we had to do. So
amazing, amazing.
And working outside, doing chores and picking weeds and all of that stuff.
Well, we're going to take a short break here for a commercial for our sponsor, Audible.com, and I'm going to throw it back to Fred in the studio to give us the commercial.
Thanks, Fred. This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For Golf Smarter listeners, Audible would like you to try a free audiobook, and you can check it out for yourself how great reading an audiobook can be. The one that I did this summer that I loved, because I did a lot of driving, so being in the car was great. And I listened to the new book by Rob Lowe called Stories I Only Tell My Friends, an autobiography. Fascinating stories. It's like this guy was Forrest Gump of 70s Hollywood. It's just amazing. And actually, he writes it really well. And having him narrate, my favorite thing for audiobooks, having the author narrate makes all the difference in the world. If you'd like to check out that audiobook for free, you can, or any audiobook that you'd like. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and choose from their huge library of over 75,000 titles. And there's literature, fiction, nonfiction, even periodicals. Again, go to Audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And back to you, Fred.
I hope I'm not pushing too hard, but I just think your dad's story is so fascinating. What was he doing, you know, what did he do to bring up to not his fortune, but the ability to buy a golf course? Had he become a golfer? Was he working in the golf industry? Or it was just this pie-in-the-sky idea goal that he had?
So once he was at a point where he had more time, because like I said, most of his life he's worked 3 or 4 jobs at a time just to make sure.
So was he an entrepreneur or was he an employee?
He was an employee for most of his life.
Really?
Starting from even dishwashing. He worked at, you know, different odds and ends jobs, busing tables, doing whatever needed to be done to help pay bills in his home and also to make sure he paid his way through college because he couldn't ask his parents for that financial assistance. So, and he started a family not too long after graduating. And so because of that, there was always bills that needed to be paid. And so he's always been a bit of a workaholic, I guess. But he always leaves time on the weekends for family, which we may not have seen him a lot during the week, but we always spent a lot of time on the weekends with him. Mm-hmm. And did chores together, went on trips together, and so
played
on and
golf
so forth.
Together?
I mean, no, actually.
Was golf part of his life in any of this?
Yes. At a certain point, actually, his main business was in real estate after
okay.
doing all of these odds and
ends
jobs.
Now we're finding the path here that brings us. Okay, he was in real estate.
So he was in real estate and was involved first, obviously, with just homes and apartments, but eventually went into selling, you know, acquisition and also property managing golf courses. So he helped with Biltmore and Wigwam Resorts in Arizona. And so he helped manage those properties, but he did it from afar because it wasn't a day-to-day operation he was doing this at. He was doing it from San Francisco, and it was just one of the properties his company was managing. It wasn't just the sole focus. Also around that same time period, he was golfing every week with his buddies, okay. and he picked up golf. Yes, it wasn't just
was like,
random.
What?
He finally found time once we were
So he's always loved it.
Yes, he's always loved the sport. He just didn't have time or energy, I guess, in his earlier years to do it.
Okay.
And we didn't really have much of an interest at a younger age to pursue it. So when he started, which was, I think, around the time I was in junior high school age, he started picking up golf. But at that age, I was more involved with my school activities and getting ready for college and things like that, and also caring for my younger siblings.
Paint the picture, please, mm-hmm. of the time your dad sat the whole family down and said, I'm buying a golf course and you're working there. and I want to see how far your jaws dropped. Was this like he dropped this on you, or you knew this was coming over years?
I knew it was coming, and not necessarily that it was coming this soon. but I have worked with my dad in the past. All the businesses he's involved when he always tries to get the family involved.
Okay.
And so we have helped throughout the years, and I knew that if he did want to pursue his dream of owning a golf course, that I would have to be on board.
Have to be on
I
board.
Would have to
There's
be on board.
There's no, Dad, you know no. what? I'm not into the hospitality
no.
thing.
I have to pay my dues, right?
Well, what was your... You went to college. What mm-hmm. was your pursuit? Where did you think you were going?
So my major was actually communications. I went to UCLA and luckily was fortunate enough to get into communications. It's at the time, I don't know if it still is.
I wonder you're so good at this.
Oh, no. Not at all. It was number one in the nation for the communication studies program. So I was very fortunate to get involved in it. I knew that the focus I wanted to go into was hospitality, dealing with marketing and also dealing with, you know, helping others.
Yeah.
And luckily, most of the positions I've held has some form of that, and most positions do. And so that's also why I did it, was because it was a broad enough major that I can go into pretty much anything. It's nothing specific, so I didn't learn anything, any core thing. I can't fix a computer. I can't, you know, solve the greatest math problem or whatever it may be. But I developed a lot of the skills with interpersonal and mass communication type of arena. So I really enjoyed it.
And in communications, were you like a creative type? You wanted to produce and create content like that, or you are always like a managing type, like I got to take care of this and this. Yeah, I mean, what was your focus coming through that?
So I always love being behind the scenes. Yeah. In high school, I was always involved with a class, you know, president, ASB president,
of
doing
course.
Things like that. and I also did the same thing in music and science and as well. So it was always an interest of me to be in a leadership role, but behind the scenes. I don't like being in the spotlight. That's not where my forte is. But I love working behind the scenes and managing behind the scenes. So
well, lucky for you, this is audio. I didn't have to put a camera on you. Right?
Exactly.
No wonder you agreed to do it so quickly. So talk to me about the logistics of running a golf course in an area that is West Marin. It's own brand of people. I mean, you know, when people talk about the West Coast and how strange we are out in California, and, you know, the peacock feathers and the hippies and all that stuff, that's what we're talking about. This is West Marin.
Yes,
this is where
true.
We are. So you have to deal with the politics. You have to deal with the local politics. You have to deal with the state politics, which are in shambles these days. But you also have to deal with this community. And this golf course has been here a long time. How was it accepted that a family was coming in?
We were actually luckily opened with open arms, and so
welcome in.
It was very, very. We were very, very fortunate
awesome.
To be in that situation. I mean, I guess because of where the focus had been, where it was corporate, it wasn't really community oriented. They didn't have the same focuses as what the community believed in. The community wasn't invited, and I heard from a few different individuals that are regulars now that they were actually asked to leave because this was just for golfers. That's completely where our focus was not on.
And when you're saying, like, you, I don't know if you can hear behind us, but we're sitting right next to the bar area, mm-hmm. right? And it's a day game going on, Dodgers, Giants, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of activity going on out there for a Wednesday afternoon, midday.
Yes, and before, people from the community would come up and they were asked to leave, at least what I was told by various individuals, because they wanted the golfers to be the focus. And so if they were golfers, then they were welcome. But if they were just here just to eat and just to drink, they were asked to come back when they picked up golf. I mean, obviously it was done, I think, in a tactful way, I assume, but they didn't feel welcome, and so they did not return. Mm. They had no desire to pick up golf for that reason, because they were turned away and shunned. So for us, our focus was to really embrace what Marin County is all about. And luckily, because I grew up in Berkeley, right across the bridge, we came here almost every other weekend to spend family time, because West Marin, as you say, is beautiful and there's a lot of activities to do here. That we've developed a lot of the similar goals and mindsets that these people in the community have. And so we want to be good stewards to this land. We want to make sure that we don't spray pesticides, that we conserve water, that we make sure our goals are in line with what their vision is. Mm. And the politics
has got to be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with the local politicians,
getting
zoned. It's also residential around mm-hmm. here, kind of. I mean, they've built some houses around the golf course, but generally there's no houses on this golf course. And we're out by Spirit Rock, which is kind of famous for people around the mm-hmm. country who, you know, a very spiritual place.
And the salmon's spawning right on in our backyard as well.
Right.
Coho salmon.
Right.
So, yes, because of all of those things, we wanted to make sure that this place was a place for the community, that it wasn't a place just for golfers. Of course, we obviously welcome golfers. That's where our revenue stream is. But we want to be able to sustain the business even during the winter months, even when golfers aren't here, that people from the community come, that they feel welcome, that they feel like they have a voice. So even in the political arena, they're allowed to have meetings here. We don't charge them, and they appreciate those things. We have blood drives here. We have environmental forum groups here meeting, and also the county meets here, and different groups meet here. And we do this free of charge as a community service. And because we have the space, might as well utilize it. Might as well utilize it to means where the community sees fit, where they feel it needs to be. And we partner with the community center as well and do projects together with them too. So that's where our focus is. And that's where I feel that our reputation has changed. And that's why I feel that they've welcomed us with open arms. And so we've been very, very fortunate. And it's obviously the best type of advertising is word of mouth.
Yeah.
And that's also the scariest as well.
So you don't know what they're saying. Well, I have to tell you that from what I hear out on the street locally, that there is definitely a different attitude about what's going on in this golf course. Not only are people talking about what great condition the golf course is, but the pricing structure is favorable to golfers. But just the overall attitude of the golf course mm-hmm. Seems to be really positive. And people are like, you know, we got to go out and support. It's a family-run business. You have to support a family business. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like these corporate guys that they're in it to sell it.
Yes.
You know, people know that this is a family business now.
Yes, and you want to give them a product that they would be proud to bring their friends and their extended family, and that they feel not ashamed or embarrassed about. So that's why we've changed our food. It's all local products, sustainable, organic, whenever we can. And we support those local businesses because we're buying products from them. They in turn support us. They bring their clients, they bring their family and friends to come and dine here. And even the golf course is the same thing. We make sure we make capital improvements, and that's necessary to make sure that the golf course is in the top shape. We really want to make this a country club type feeling at a public course price. And so that's why we try to enhance it with amenities that aren't typically at public golf courses.
I guess with your communications background and education, promotional ideas, mm-hmm. you have to be somewhat aggressive to get those out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have multiple revenue sources. You have to in a golf course. Which ones do you have? What do you go after? What are the most profitable revenue streams for you?
So in terms of profitable, it's hard to tell yet.
How long have you guys owned it?
It'll be 2 years in a few weeks, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
So in terms of profitability, it's really too soon to really know. But where we've been doing most of our focus is online and local streams. So we have done some newspaper advertising, no TV yet, though we have been featured on TV. But in terms of commercial, where we're actually paying, we haven't done anything yet. But we're also in Costco's right now. And that one's very early. We've only been in it for about a month or a month and a half. Well, so
the
far.
Costco up here in Nevada?
No, actually. So
a minute. It's the local Costco? You're not that? No, I was like, no, you're not. That's not you.
We're actually paired with Indian Valley and Poplar Creek. So Poplar Creek is based in San Mateo. Indian Valley, obviously, you know, is north of us in Nevada. And Indian Valley, and this is hearsay as well because this is what the reps told us from the Costco company, is that Indian Valley didn't want to be in Novato because they're stationed out of Novato, and the whole focus of this is to bring new golfers, not to get existing golfers. So
because they're going to come anyway.
Exactly. So okay. We're in San Francisco and Foster City. So there's five different Costco locations we're based out of.
Okay.
Far the program.
So the various revenue streams, promotionally.
Yes, promotional.
You have a banquet room here. I know that, and I don't know if it was you who, when you first came here, or it was the last owner, but they put an area out by the first tee box for weddings.
For weddings. And we are on Here Comes the Guide. We're on The Knot. We're on Wedding Wire. We're on a bunch of different other streams for the wedding clientele. In terms of the business clientele, we're in. We're involved in the chamber, various different chambers and various different visitors bureau where we attend regularly, and also do sponsorship opportunities where they do advertising for us, and we do that as well. Yes, they're having a great time out there, and that's what we want.
You can hear they're having a blast.
And we also pair up with other West Marin businesses and do tours for the corporate clients that are in San Francisco, that market. And so we do a lot of ag and tourism on that end. And so with the agriculture side, we take them to farms. We take them to, for instance, Point Reyes Blue Cheese, Calgary Creamery, places like that. They can see the day-to-day on a tour on what happens and how cheese is made. We go to Drake's Bay Oyster Farm, and we go to different places. They come to the golf course, see what we have to offer, what our golf course has. They do kayaking. They ride on electrical bikes. They do this whole several day tour. They stay at local bed and breakfasts. We do all of this in terms of promotional and marketing. All of us donate these services. But in return, we'll be getting business in the future.
Hope so.
And that's what we hope as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of these groups, they bring their clients to Napa, to Monterey, to San Francisco, to areas that are already saturated and that their clients have already done time and time again. They haven't really done West Marin. And so that's why we're introducing them a whole new market, and it's been great with these companies.
So, with all that, running this family business, seeing what this business is like, not intending to get in this, but and also talking about, well, it's my dad wanted, I have to do it, I'm going to do it. Doesn't sound like you put up too much of a fight.
No, it was willing. It wasn't like I was forced to.
So is there any time your dad said, I want to do this, and you're going, I don't think that's a good idea?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
I'm managers. So then, no.
Not the managers, your dad. I was just curious about your dad. But anyway, well, I'm glad that you have mutual respect professionally
definitely.
For now. That's awesome. But living this American dream, I'm sure there are many people who have thought about, oh, it'd be so cool to own a golf course. And if they said that to you, what would you tell them?
I would say yes, but make sure you're willing to put in the hours. I love coming here every day.
And don't expect to make a fortune on this.
No.
And don't
you
expect
to
play a lot of golf either, right?
No. You have to love what you do. And any person here can tell you that if you work here, they all worked. Most of them ended up working here because they wanted to be able to play free golf.
Right.
But
that's why I'm doing this interview.
Exactly. But the truth of the matter is you don't end up having time to do it as much as you'd like. Luckily, our assistant GM makes sure he sets time once a week to do it. But a lot of our employees don't have the time to do it. They just get so busy with work.
So would you tell someone to buy a golf course?
I would, as long as they're not doing it for the money, as long as they're not doing it for business opportunities. If they're doing it to make a fortune or to even make a dime, invest in something else. This investment has to, especially if it's not
your dad's legacy. And does he really believe that this could be multi-generations in this family and in this community?
He does. I don't think he would have done it if he didn't.
Wow. Awesome.
The thing is that you have to do it, any profession, you have to do it because you love it, mm-hmm. any career. And so if you love it, if you make money or you don't, as long as you're enjoying it, it makes it worth it, worthwhile. So that's what's important here, and that's what's important for us. Right. Of course, we have disagreements sometimes, and like I said before, the managers have seen that when we have disagreements between my father and I. But it's all in the love of the fact that we love this place. That we don't want to make any wrong decisions and wrong choices, that we want to do what's best for this place.
Well, so far, so good. I think you guys are doing a great job. I love this. One of my favorite golf courses. I personally think it's the best value in the county because of the quality of the golf course, not only in the maintenance of it, the playability of it, but the difficulty of it. Mm-hmm. It's very entertaining. There's some of the golf courses in this town that are like, what? Why would you do that?
So very gimmicky, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. So I really wish you decades and decades of great success.
Thank you. And
thanks for talking to me. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Same with me. And thank you for having me here on your show. And I hope you the same success that you're wishing upon me.
Tony Manzoni and I were talking last week, and he mentioned that last month at a PGA event, he shot a 75 on his 75th birthday. Wow. Well, and the next day he shot a 74. He also wanted me to thank you for the many orders and positive feedback that he's been receiving on his book, The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever. Remember, you can only get that book at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.